So good morning and happy Sabbath, Pikesville. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today. I know I've been away for a little bit, so I'm just glad to be back in the house of the Lord, worshiping with each and every one of you today. Just a couple of things that I want to just say before I get into the sermon is that we are actually in the process of updating the AV equipment. And so I do want to tell you that we had people come here this past Thursday in order to do a little bit of work, That work is not yet completed, so they will be back again. And so I just want to let you know, please bear with us. You might see some changes, but things are happening. As a matter of fact, they are going to happen very soon. And if you want to be a part of the AV team and the things that we're doing, they will be back here go over the system and train on Thursday of this week. What time? What day did I say?
Thursday.
And so at 9 a.m., they'll be back here to finish the installations and also to give training. So if you want to be a part of that, please join us on Thursday. But is it okay if I get into the word today? Amen, amen. So we're going to look at today Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 27. So if you can stand, once again, we're going to go into our Bibles and we're going to look at Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 27. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 27. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Once again, that is Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 27. For anyone that does not know, Luke is found. The Bible is split into two parts. The first part is the Old Testament. The second part is the New Testament. It's in the second part of the division of the Bible, and it is out of that second division. So it comes right after the book of Mark and right before the book of John. So that's Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 27, and I'll be reading to verse 32. Yeah, let me hear you say amen. And the Bible reads, "After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, 'Follow me.' And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled at the disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?'" Verse 31, "And Jesus answered them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" And once again, looking at specifically verse 27 and 28, it says, "After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' And leaving everything, he rose and followed him." And with your prayers and God's power, I'd like to deliver a message entitled today, "We See Jesus Saw." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, I'm asking that your words and your message be delivered to your people, including myself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be sealed. And so tomorrow we get the opportunity to celebrate for those that have dedicated their lives, for those who have actually literally dedicated their bodies. They've also dedicated their mental, their spiritual, and the emotional energy for many of us in this building. See, there are some in here that have physically given birth. There's others that may have adopted children. And there's others that we may consider to be our church moms or our second moms. But tomorrow is a day that is definitely revered in this country. And just as a side note, I just want to apologize to the dads already, because we all know in this country, Mother's Day is celebrated and Dad's Father's Day is just a secondary holiday. But don't worry, we will change that We'll celebrate the dads just as much as the moms next month. But tomorrow is going to be Mother's Day. And can we just take some time in this building just to appreciate our mothers today for all of the hard work, for all of the dedication, for all the sweat and tears that they have poured into their children, their grandchildren, and their surrogate children. See, God has been so good to many of us by allowing our mothers and our mother figures into our lives. And I know that some of us in here may not have great relationships with our biological mothers, but I'm hoping that God has allowed you to experience some form of motherly care in your life. See, even though I'm clearly not a mother, I know how difficult being a mother can be. Actually, I don't know how difficult it can be. I can only imagine how difficult it can be. As a matter of fact, I was not the best son growing up. And so I know that I caused, personally, my mom lots of grief. But I'm positive that it's only through the grace of God and through the prayers of my mother that I was able to turn my life around and use it for His glory. See, as a matter of fact, I was reluctant to preach this sermon because it is a very personal sermon to me. See, I remember working multiple times with kids. And one of the things that I learned about some moms is sometimes their vision is skewed of their own children. See, sometimes they look at their children and they believe that their children are perfect angels. And they see them and they remember them as they were young and as they were toddlers. But how do many of us know that as we grow up, sometimes we're exposed to certain things, sometimes we're influenced by certain things, and sometimes we grow into certain things that sometimes our parents and our mothers no longer see us as we are, but they see us how we were. And I remember like working with these moms, and sometimes we would have to have parent teacher meetings, and we would have to come, and they would be so shocked to just find out about some of the behaviors of their children. See, many of these mothers saw their kids through rose-colored glasses and believed that their child could do absolutely no wrong. See, but on the other hand, there were also the mothers that that thought that their children could do no right. See, some believed that their sons were no good and that they would never amount to anything and that they always said that they were just like their father. See, whatever the case may be, whether you may see things through rose-colored glasses or you may see things through gray skies, what I've learned throughout my time living is that the labels that we create to characterize people that we can't clearly see because we either see things in a positive or we either see things in a negative way, but sometimes we don't see things holistically. And one of the things I learned is that we start to use and create labels in order to help us to understand and realize what's going on in the world around us. But how many of us know that sometimes these labels that we may have given other people or that we may have received ourselves over the years can be damaging and destructive? See, some were good of these labels that we've received and some were not so good. See, some I would be proud to repeat of the labels I've been given, and others I wouldn't dare utter from this pulpit. See, some labels have stuck with us and have stuck with me throughout the years that I had to overcome. And as I read this story, God opened up to me just how much Levi was me. See, one of the things I want to encourage people in here today, for anyone who may believe that the Bible is stale, that the Bible doesn't have any power, that the Bible is boring, I want to give you a new way to study the Bible. See, one of the ways that I was taught on how to study the Bible was to actually put yourself in each character's place. See, so I want you to start to ask God to open up your understanding as you place yourself from the point of view from each character in the Word. See, I know when we do that, we may do that already, but some of us like to always place ourselves in the hero position.
As a matter of fact, I know sometimes when we read the Bible, it's good to see ourselves like Jesus and see ourselves doing the things that Jesus did. But what I'm challenging you today is when you read these stories, don't just put yourself in the hero's position, but put yourself also in the villain position. See, one of the things that I'm saying is that place yourself not only as Peter, but place yourself also in the story as Judas. See, place yourself not only as Elijah, but also place yourself in the story as Ahab. See, place yourself not only as Rachel, but place yourself also as Leah. See, place yourself not only as Cain, but place yourself also as Abel. And what I'm trying to get you to realize is that we all have certain parts that will resonate with all of the characters in the Word. And so as I read this passage, I was just imagining myself as Levi, who was a Jew sitting at this tax booth. See, one of the things that you have to understand about this story and about Levi is that Levi was hated amongst his own people. See, for those who don't know, tax collectors in those times were seen as the scum of the earth. And so if I were just to give kind of a comparison to what tax collectors were seen as, you can think of the child molesters today as how people saw the tax collectors of back then. See, they knew that the tax collectors had joined with the enemy, who were the Romans. See, the Romans had oppressed God's people, the people that were supposed to be free, the people that were promised the promised land. The Romans had taken away their freedom, and the Jews hated the Romans, and the tax collectors were sellouts for the Romans. See, what they did is that they collected money for the Romans, but they also put a little bit extra in their own pockets. See, they sold out their own people, and they decided to get rich off of their own people in favor of the Roman Empire. So I can only imagine all of the dirty looks, all of the dirty the side conversations, all of the things that Levi had to experience as he chose this area of life to find as his profession. See, Levi was a living label. People hated his guts. And when the Jews were passed by Levi, all they would see is an evil man. All they could see was a traitor. And all they could see was somebody that was not worthy of an iota of respect. As a matter of fact, Ellen White visualizes it in her book, A Desire of Ages, this way. She says, of the Roman officials in Palestine, none were more hated than the publicans. See, the fact that taxes were imposed by a foreign power was a continual irritation to the Jews, being a reminder that their independence had departed. And the tax gatherers were not merely the instruments of Roman oppression, they were extortioners on their own account, enriching themselves at the expense of the people. A Jew who accepted this office at the hands of the Romans was looked upon as betraying the honor of his nation. He was despised as an apostate and was classed with the vilest of society. See, at this time when Jesus decides to pass by Levi, Levi must have been feeling the lowest of the low. See, Levi must have been feeling like he was less than nothing. Levi must have been listening and taking on the labels that he had been given by his own people. See, they were calling him a traitor. They were calling him the scum of the earth. They were calling him all manners of names. And so as he was performing his job, his duty, he had to also carry the burden of the labels that people had placed on him. See, but the great thing that I realized about this passage is that even though people see us in a certain light, God saw three important aspects of us, and I believe that this will help us to change the trajectory of our lives. And the first way that God saw Levi and saw us is that God saw our past. See, I love sometimes my interactions amongst the Christian community, because one of the things that I really love about us is that God has brought us through so many things, amen? There's been so many trials, there's been so many troubles, there's been so many experiences in our lives that when we look back, all we can do is raise our hands and thank God that he saw us through. See, it's easy for us to forget from our past what God has journeyed us and brought us to a certain place. It's easy for us to disconnect how it was when we first met Jesus, but we didn't have everything together, but we didn't have everything right. But it's easier for us to forget because that was so many years ago that we gave our life to God. But the reality is that there's some people that are still going through that process. And what happens is when we forget our past, we lose the ability to connect to how people are struggling today. And so one of the things that Jesus saw is that Jesus saw our past. And so as he walked by that tax booth and he came by Levi, he saw Levi, and he saw Levi how he cheated people. He saw Levi how he took a little extra for himself. He saw Levi how he was living a life that even though he grew up as a Jew, he was living contrary to his belief. And so the reason why this connected with me so much was because I remember I grew up in the church. Yeah, I grew up in the Adventist church all my life. And so I did go to public school. I never went to Adventist education until my 11th grade year. But I grew up in the church, and so I knew the principles. I knew the 27 fundamental beliefs, but there wasn't 28 quite yet. I remember going through and going to Sabbath school. I remember going through and going to Pathfinders. I remember being a part of the system, but as I grew older, somehow, some way, I had fallen off. See, one of the things that I want us to understand is that in my mind, I was going through life. I was going through certain things, but somehow, some way, as I went out into the world, as I kind of walked on my own, I started to want to do things that were contrary to the way that I was raised. See, I wanted to start to do things contrary to the things that I had seen. I wanted to go and experience the things that were in life that I had not seen that were in the church. But I want to tell you that there were also things in the church that I saw that I didn't like. As a matter of fact, if I just want to be honest with you today, there were things in the church that I didn't like that actually drove me away from the church. See, one of the things I want us to understand is that it's not always that the devil is doing things. It's not always that the devil is working on our children, our grandchildren. But sometimes there has to be some introspection so that we can understand the things that we're doing that are actually pushing our young people away and not pulling them closer to Christ. But I still have my decision to make, so I won't blame anybody else. I still made my own decisions. And as life went on, one of the things I want us to understand, especially young people, is that you cannot control sin. Sin will control you. See, one of the things that I didn't understand is that I thought I could dabble just a little bit here. I thought I could dabble just a little bit there. But what I realized as the years went on, as the dabbling went on, the things that I learned, just like Levi from my youth, I started to park myself away. And before I knew it, I was in places that I thought I would never be. As a matter of fact, as I look at my past, I know Jesus saw my past when I was drunk in the club 4 days a week. Jesus saw my past when I used to walk around with a pistol on my hip for protection. See, Jesus saw my past because he saw not only did I have the upbringing of the church, but somehow, some way, I ended up in a place that I never thought I would be. And what I want us to understand today is two things. Do not play with sin, but also God sees your past, but yet he also saw your pain. See, one of the things that we have to understand is that sometimes we get so thrown off by people's behaviors. Sometimes we get so thrown off by what people say and what they do that we as Christians, we fail to see the pain that's beneath the behavior. See, one thing that would do us well is that we would learn how to not be so defensive when people come to us certain type of ways. Or we would not be so thrown off by the things that we see and we hear. But if we actually listen with spiritual ears, one of the things that we will be able to see is that that person that may be cursing us out, that person that may be talking to us funny, that person that may be looking at us sideways actually has a lot of pain beneath their behavior. And so what God can see is not only does he see your past, but God also sees the pain that's inside of you. And so as he walked by Levi, as he saw him at the tax booth, one of the things that Jesus saw was not only the evil acts that Levi had done, but he also saw the pain that lied beneath. As a matter of fact, once again, I'm like, puts it this way. She said, the Pharisees had judged Matthew according to his employment. But Jesus saw in this man a heart open for the reception of truth. See, Matthew had listened to the Savior's teachings. As the convicting Spirit of God revealed his sinfulness, he longed to seek help from Christ, but he was accustomed to the exclusiveness of the rabbis and had no thought that this great teacher would notice him. I want you to hear that last part. See, how many people walk through our doors that don't look refined, that don't look like the standard that we think that they should look like, but maybe in the same place that Levi was, where his heart was ready to receive the Savior, but the people of God were thrown off by their appearance.
My God.
See, I want us to get this here, because what I want us to understand is that sometimes we see through cloudy vision. Sometimes we don't see as we need to see. We miss the pain, the longing for Christ that are in people that don't look like us, that don't act like us, that don't move like us, that don't walk like us, but they actually might be on the brink of accepting the Savior. And so what I want us to do is to start training our eyes not to look through our carnal eyes, but to start asking the Lord to help us to see through spiritual eyes so that we can see the pain of the people that walk through our doors. We can see the pain of the people that are at our jobs. We can see the pain of the people that are in our places of school and in our worship, and that we would stop throwing these throwing off by the way they look. See, Jesus knew when he saw me that my destructive behaviors that I was taking apart was really all because I was hurt. But as a matter of fact, unfortunately, there weren't too many church people that could see it. I remember there's so many instances where God had actually brought me back to the church. Well, all I wanted was for somebody to reach out. All I wanted was for somebody to just, say some encouraging words. I remember I went to this one church, and I won't name it because it's in this faith, where I actually, decided to come to, they had like a youth night or they had something for the youth. And, I wasn't going to church regularly at that time, but I decided to come. And I remember from the moment that I walked through those doors, I could tell I wasn't focused. See, what I used to wear back in the day, my pants used to be really bad. Right? I didn't sag like they used to, like they sag them nowadays, but they were slightly sad. I remember I had, my street clothes on. I don't remember exactly what I was wearing. But I remember as I walked through the door to come to a youth program to learn about God, all I saw were nasty looks. All I saw were people already judging who I was without even saying a word to me. And the reason why I'm so passionate about these things is because I know plenty of people who have experienced the same exact thing, but no longer want anything to do with God's church. And what I want us to understand is that the way we treat people is mostly based on their behaviors and their outward appearance, but we miss the pain that lies underneath. But I'm so glad that I serve a Savior that does not get thrown off by what I look like. I serve a Savior that's not get thrown off by some of my actions. I serve a Savior that can look past the exterior and see the need that's in the interior. See, I was searching for love at that time. I was searching for intimacy. I was searching for acceptance. I was searching for approval all the time that I was looking everywhere else. I didn't know at the end of the day that I was just searching for God. And just like that, Jesus saw saw Levi was struggling. While the Jews, all they could see was an evil man, Jesus saw that Levi felt trapped. See, Jesus saw that Levi was now at a point in his life where he was just kind of going through the motions. See, Jesus saw that Levi wasn't living, he was simply existing.
Yes.
See, I want somebody here to know today that Jesus also saw your pain. See, one thing that you have to understand is that even though he saw that you were acting out in school, he knew that it was just because you were trying to get the attention of your loved ones. See, even though he saw that you had a lot of intimate partners, because he knew that you really just were searching for somebody to love you back. See, he saw the addiction that you had, but Jesus also knew that you were just trying to find a way to assuage yourself from the pain. See, Jesus saw past your actions, and he saw your pain. Now, just imagine what type of people would we be, church, if we saw past people's outward appearance and we could see the pain. And not only did Jesus, was he able, and he saw, not only did he saw Levi's path, not only did he saw Levi's pain, but he also saw Levi's potential. And I want you to really understand this. Can I just say that I'm glad that we serve a God that saw us differently than people see us currently. See, only God knew the plan that he had for my life. See, only God knew that he was able, how he was going to be able to use me to bring people to him. See, only God knew that he would make all of the mistakes that I made, all of the failures that I experienced, all the traumas that I had to work together for my good and for his glory. See, only God saw what I could become, and he knew what I would become. See, while man judged me and placed labels on me, God knew why he had actually created me. See, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this. Don't ever allow anyone to place a label on you because their sight is limited. See, they cannot see the beginning from the end. See, all they see is a snapshot of the here and the now, but God knows what he made you to be, and he knows how he can get you to become what he created you to be.
Yeah.
See, we see in the present, but God saw all eternity. As a matter of fact, a lot of times we go around, we see losers, but God saw liberators. Yeah. See, we see promiscuous people, but God saw powerful prophets. Yeah. See, we see weed heads, but God saw worship leaders. See, we see trucks, but God saw disciples. We see murderers, but God saw ministers. We see sinners, but God saw saints. See, we see outward appearance, but God saw our hearts. So I want to thank God that he looks at me, that he looks at you, and he doesn't see us the way that we see each other, but he saw us through loving and compassionate eyes, and he decided on that day that he was on Calvary, that he would die and sacrifice himself for us, regardless of whether we chose to accept it or not, just because we had the chance of realizing the potential he placed inside of us. See, somebody in here has probably been struggling with the way people have been seeing you. See, maybe people see you, and maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a loved one, maybe it's a father. Maybe they thought that you would never amount to nothing. See, maybe they didn't see the value that you had inside. See, maybe all they could do was look at you, and when they looked at you, all they could see was a failure. See, it may have been your ex-spouse. It may have been somebody that maybe when they looked at you, all they could see were your insufficiencies. Or maybe all they could look at you and see were your flaws. Or maybe it was your teacher. And maybe all they could see was a failing student. Or maybe all they could see was an unintelligent individual. But I just want that person to know that what people see is not what God saw. See, God saw that you would become, and he found joy in sacrificing his life for you and I. As a matter of fact, the one things I love about the cross, one things I love about Calvary, walked and decided to sacrifice his life on the cross after he already saw the things that we would do in life. See, God did not disqualify us based on our past. God did not disqualify us based on our pain. But God saw the potential in you. God saw the potential in me. And this is why he decided to go happily to the cross and sacrifice himself for us. See, God wants you to see the way that he saw you on Calvary. See, God saw your past. God saw your pain. God saw your potential. And now he's inviting you to take a step of faith so that he can, that you can become all that he has created you to be. See, the thing about Levi, it's funny. Sometimes the people that we try or that we don't want to come into our congregation will be some of the same people that will bring the most people to God. See, I remember I really wanted this church that I was at to just see past certain things. See, it's not about not teaching. It's not about not guiding and not ministering. But I really wanted them to see what was going on. See, we had a drummer in the church that I was at. And this drummer, you know, he was on the fence about Adventism, right? He was kind of deciding on whether or not he would join, but he was excited to be in church. And the thing about it is sometimes I look out into the crowd in our churches, and not too many people are excited to be in church. But this young man was excited to be in church to the point that he was excited anytime he played, he would invite people to come. And he would have lots and lots of people coming to the church. But one of the things that bothered my spirit was that the people of God were not able to see the amount of people that he was bringing to the church. All they could see was the fact that he's playing the drums too loud. And what I'm trying to get us to understand is that sometimes we're thrown off by the most minute things, but we don't really see that the people that God is bringing into our churches, even though they haven't been taught everything, even though they have not actually become or grown in their Christianity, that these are the same people that will bring many to Christ. If you don't believe me, look at Levi. Because one thing that I understand about Levi is that in the story, immediately after God calls him, he goes to dinner where all the sinners and publicans come. Immediately, Levi was the evangelist that brought his friends, his co-workers, so that they could also have an experience with Christ. And one thing that I also want us to understand about this story is that even though Levi was hated by the Jews, the book of Matthew, which is Levi's other name, was written by him. And how many of us understand the book of Matthew was the gospel of Jesus that was written for the Jews? So the same people that looked down upon him, the same people that ridiculed him, the same people that looked at him and saw no potential is the same people that God used him to minister to. Yes. And so what I want us to understand is that we got to stop seeing people through our carnal eyes. We got to stop seeing people through their externals. We got to stop judging people based on what we see. We have to ask God. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to allow us to see people the way he saw when he sacrificed himself on Calvary. Because that is only the true vision of what God is doing in people's lives. So I'm just inviting all of us to stand at this moment. And like I said, this sermon was very personal to me because I experienced some of the things of the people that don't want to come back to church. But it was only through God's grace and mercy that he got me through how people were seeing me, and he helped me realize how he actually saw me. And what I'm praying for somebody in here today, see, somebody in here has been seen by all the bad things that you've done. Somebody in here has only been seen by the things that were not pleasurable, by the things that were not good. You were labeled. You went through a lot of labeling. You went through a lot of people talking bad about you, about looking down on you. And what I want you to know is that don't allow how people see you to paint the picture of how God saw you. See, God, when he looks at you, he saw his creation. When God, he looked at you, he saw something that was very good. When God looked at you, he saw you may not be there yet, God still saw you and knows where you will be.
Yeah.
And so I'm praying for somebody in here today who is on the fence. Maybe they've had a bad interaction with the people of God. Maybe they've had a bad interaction with people who are from the church. I'm asking you, don't give up on God, because God actually can see you, and he saw you for what he created you to be. And for some of the rest of us, my prayer is just as simple as this. My prayer is that God helps us to get our priorities in order. Because you don't know how it feels sometimes to never want anything to do with this church. But I do. And I'm saying this from experience, and I'm saying this from my heart. Sometimes we focus on things that in the grand scheme of things don't really matter. See, one thing that I've learned, and I just really want to speak to this. I just really want to speak on a regular level with everybody. One thing I've learned is that as I worked in the prison, as I worked in the juvenile detention center, as I've gone through impoverished communities, I started to realize some of the things that we focus on while you're serving the people of God just doesn't matter. Or if it does matter, it doesn't matter to the priority that we place in. And so what I'm just asking us really is to take a good look at ourselves, is to really see these people that come across us the way that God saw us. And I really want us to just really come to a place where we understand that, yes, we have a message. Yes, we have something that is unique for the world to hear. But at the same time, sometimes the things that we focus on are actually pushing people away. And so I'm just praying that God just opens our eyes and he helps us to see the way that he saw us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just your word. Father, I'm so happy, Lord, that you are able to reveal to me how it's just like you, God. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that even though, Lord, people have placed labels, even though people only see me in regular life, Father, you saw me and you looked at me with compassion. And Father, I'm just thankful, Lord, that there's plenty of people in here, Lord, who have a past. There's plenty of people in here, Lord, who are going through a lot of pain. But Father, you are working through our past. You're working with our pain, and you're allowing it to be used, or will use it for your glory, for our good. And so, Father, I'm just asking for that young person, that old person, that man, woman, boy, or girl, Father, that's in here today, Lord, that has allowed the labels to attach to themselves, that have allowed the way that people see them to become who they are. I'm asking that you have an interaction with them right now, that you allow them to understand that the way you saw them is different than the way people see them. I'm asking that you just help them to understand, just like we lie, that as you walk by, Lord, all you can see is loving compassion. You can look past all of the externals and you can see the heart, and you're bidding them to follow you. So, Father, for somebody in here, Lord, who has not given their life to you, who has not given their heart to you, who's struggling with their interactions, Lord, with people who are representing you, Father, I'm just asking that you help them to not see all of those things, but allow them to see past it and have the connection that they want, the thing that they're looking for, truly, Lord, is a relationship with you. And so, Father, I'm just asking that you provide for that person today. Lord, I'm also asking that you be with us as the people of God. Father, I'm still asking that you keep us faithful to your word. I'm still asking that you help us to be sound in doctrine. I'm still asking that you help us to really not turn to the left or turn to the right when it comes to preaching your word. But Father, I'm also asking in addition to that you help us to really see with spiritual eyes. Father, help us to see the people that we come across, Lord. Help us to see their pain. Help us to see what they're longing for. Help us to see their loneliness. Help us to see their feeling not good enough. Help us to see their need for love and acceptance. Lord, help us to see past the externals so we can minister to their pain and win disciples for you. Father, I'm asking that you just help us, Lord, to put our priorities in the right order. Father, help us to understand and to realize, Lord, that there are certain things that matter most, Lord. The Bible says, Lord, that help us to not strain at a gnat, but swallow a camel, Lord. So I'm asking today, Father, for any of those things, and including myself, it's not about preaching to anybody, but this is preaching to myself, Lord. If there's anything in me, Lord, that is not allowing me to understand how to see people in the right light, Father, I'm asking that you just help to adjust our vision. Father, because we do not need to go another day, another hour, seeing people through carnal eyes, but help us to see with spiritual eyes. And so, Father, I'm just thanking you today because I know you will do a great thing for your people. Father, be with us as a church, Lord. Even us, Lord, sometimes we're seen as a certain type of church, Lord, but you saw us in the purpose that you created us to be, Lord. So I'm asking that even as we think about the work of the church, as we think about ourselves, Lord, as a church, that you help us not to see ourselves as other people see. Help us not to listen to what other people say about us. But Father, I'm asking that you help us to focus on the mission that you've implanted in our hearts and that you help us to live, Lord, and to minister and to do your work, Lord, in a capacity that will bring all honor, glory, and praise to you. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Would you stand with us for closing song?